this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of a word of life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
This morning, by the grace of God, I want to speak on what I have entitled Ingredients for a Blessed Home. Ingredients for a blessed home. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 4. Hebrews chapter number 3, verse number 4. The Bible says, "For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God." It is God that built all things, the Almighty God. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 14. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Verse number 15. Verse 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Somebody say, "As for me, as for my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. So, building a godly home or a blessed home starts with God. Christ should be, or Christ is the foundation of a godly home or a home that wants to be blessed. Christ is the foundation of a blessed home. What you don't see in Christ, in the pages of the scriptures, what you don't see in Christ in the Bible, please don't introduce it to your home. Christ is the foundation. Don't introduce it to your home. I started drinking alcohol because my father introduced it to our home. He did not give me to drink, but anytime I picked the empty bottles, the remnant, anytime I go to pack empty, his friends will come to visit. In fact, I'm the one he will ask to go and buy the beer for him. He loves taking stout. And sometimes my father will mix it with palm wine. So, who say ha? Omuriabi. So, when I go to carry it, the remnant. When I started drinking, I did not know. I started drinking alcohol because my father introduced it to our home. I drank to the point that I can sit down and finish a carton of beer. Some of us parents, you say you don't want your children to smoke, but you send them to go and buy cigarette for you. You don't want to want them to drink. You ask them to go and buy you alcohol. They will start drinking. It's a matter of time. We went to a family house from the other church that we came from, and it was a naming ceremony. And the naming ceremony was to start, I think, by 2 or so. But since he said he was going to be in the sitting room, so it was not something big. And then we closed on time from church. So we decided, why wait till 2? Service ended by 12. Since it's a small, it's just a sitting room naming, let's just go. All he wants is the pastor to come and do the naming. Naming was 2. We arrived 12. And then when we knocked, he thought it was his friends as usual. So they wanted to finish their business before 2. When we entered, the table was filled with beer. Different kind. Ah, pastor, pastor. There was no way you could pack them. Oh, poor. And sometimes these people are workers in church. They are leaders. Now, these are the examples you set in your home. These are the things that you allow to happen in your home. It's a matter of time, sir. The kids will start doing it. So don't introduce anything in your home, in your marriage, that is contrary to scriptures. What you don't see in Christ or in the pages of the Bible, please don't introduce it to your home. Parents, please instill godly character and values into your home. You agree with me that what our children see us do is a matter of time they will start doing it. So if you are the type that beats your wife, it's a matter of time. Two things is likely to happen. That boy, when he grows up, will beat you one day. Or when he gets married, he will also be beating his wife. A boy was growing up and saw the way his father was beating his mom. He was growing up, he saw it. And when he got to a particular age and the father wanted to beat the mom, and he came and he said, if you touch my mother, I will deal with you today. I will show you that I am a man. You know, children, they get to a level in life where we fathers, we can't hold them. Until heavy jualo. So the father taught the son how to beat a woman. And so he learned it. He saw the way the father punches the mom, so he was ready to do same to his father. Instill godly character and values in your home. Because of time, let's look at some of the ingredients for a blessed home, or a relationship, or a life, as the case may be. Number one ingredient is spirituality. Spirituality. Marriage is a spiritual union. It is a relationship ordained by God. God ordained it. So it is a spiritual union. It is a spiritual union where spouses are to love, to respect, serve each other as Christ serves the church. You agree with me that marriage is a type of a church? What God wanted to see, or what he desires to see in a church setting, is what he desires to see in marriage. So it is spiritual. And so you must handle it spiritually. And so the greatest gift any man, any woman can give to his family, to his children, to his wife, to his husband, is a healthy you. You must be healthy spiritually for your home to experience the blessings of God. A healthy you, sir. You must be healthy spiritually to experience the blessings of God in your home, in your marriage, in your life, in your endeavors. So a healthy spiritual life is a gift you can give to your spouse. And I say to those who are believing God for their partner in marriage, as you choose, as you say yes, watch out for spirituality. You are in a relationship and your fiance or your fiancée does not, she or he has problem with prayers. And since you have been in a relationship, there is no time he has called for prayers. You have not prayed and you are in a relationship. You only go to ShopRite. You go to Eatery, you drink ice cream. You go to the Chicken Republic. Eat chicken. So all you do in your relationship is eating chicken and ice cream. No prayers. No spiritual activity is a red flag. Is a red flag. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 14. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 14. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So how healthy a man's spiritual life is will determine how successful he will be in life. In any aspect of your life, as long as you are born again, your spiritual life, how healthy you are spiritually will determine how successful you will be in life. It will determine how successful you will be in your marriage. It will determine how successful you will be in every area of your life. So spirituality is the doorway to responsibility. That's why you must watch out for spirituality. It is the doorway to responsibility. You remember in Acts chapter 6 verse number 3. Acts chapter 6 verse number 3. Now, look at what they said. He said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, seven men full of the Holy Ghost, seven men full of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So you need spirituality to be able to handle the business or the assignment that God has given to you. To be able to handle your marriage, sir, you need spirituality. You need to be spiritual. And that's why when God was creating the woman, he made Adam to sleep, because there are certain things about a woman that women can never understand. So you need the angle of spirituality to be able to handle your wife. You were asleep. You were sleeping when they formed her. There are some things in marriage that the ordinary mind cannot take, but spirituality can handle it. I'm going deeper this morning because we need to be serious sometimes and take you deeper in marriage. There are issues There are challenges between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, that the ordinary mind cannot take. And so it takes a man that is spiritual to be able to handle it. So every true spiritual person is highly responsible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 2. The Bible says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others." Faithful men. Men who have showed a sign of spirituality. Men who are faithful. He said you should commit these assignments unto them, because those are the people that will be able, at least to a particular extent, to an extent, to handle certain matters. So a spiritual man will be a responsible father. Genuine spirituality. A woman that is spiritual will be a responsible mother. Genuine spirituality. Proverbs chapter 31 verse 30. Proverbs 31, 30. Proverbs 31, 30. Are you following me this morning? The Bible says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." If you are going for a woman, for a wife, go for a woman that fears the Lord. Go for a wife that has respect for the things of God. Go for a man that has respect for the things of God, that fears the Lord, that respects his pastor. Go for such a man. Go for such a woman. You are going for beauty. Beauty will soon fade. It's a matter of time and age. You are going for money. I want to marry her. She's wedded. She has money. She has a car. She has cash. She has built her house. By the time you enter inside the house, you know that money has nothing to do when it comes to marriage. When wahala starts, that money will not be able to solve it. There is nothing that is as good as peace of mind. You have money, you don't have peace of mind in your home, you are a dead man. You are a dead walking corpse. You have all the fleet of cars and you don't have peace. You can't come to your home happy. Your cars does not matter to you. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So a spiritual person is one who is guided and empowered by the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. Romans chapter 8 verse number 14. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Sir, for those of us who are not married, you are very lucky. You still have an opportunity to make it right. You have an opportunity to make it right. Don't be deceived into marriage. Don't marry for the sake of managing. Are we managing? Don't marry with the mind of, I will change him after marriage. you might never be able to change that man or that woman. I've seen couples who married with the mind that I will change him. Shebina me. They've not been able to change the man. They've not been able to change the woman. You still have a very good opportunity to make it right. Because what we see in marriage today is caring. The way the peace of husbands has been taken, withdrawn. The peace of wives, withdrawn, taken. No peace in the home. No peace in the marriage. Because either of them have refused to lay the foundation or the building upon the solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. So a spiritual man will allow the Spirit of God to lead his thoughts. A spiritual man will allow the Spirit of God to lead his actions and decisions. He doesn't make decisions based on the flesh. He makes decisions as led by the Spirit of God. That's how a home is blessed. When you see a husband that is spiritual, the wife is spiritual, they have less issues. Because they have a manual that will resolve that matter. And that manual is the scriptures. They respect the scripture. They respect the word of God. They respect their pastor. Their pastor calls them and talks to them. That matter is resolved. They seek to please God. They are God pleasers and God chasers. Their lives are marked by the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Ephesians 5, 9 and 10. Ephesians chapter 5, verses number 9 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Verse number 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. He proves what is acceptable. Is it right? God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying about this matter, about this issue? How do we handle it? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 22. The Bible says, "For the fruit," Galatians chapter 5, "But the fruit of the Spirit is one, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith," verse 23, "meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law." So you ask yourself as a husband, if you say you are spiritual, are you meek? Do you bring joy to your home, to your family, to your wife, to your children, to your husband? Are you faithful to your marriage? Are you kind? Are you patient with your spouse? Are you gentle? Are you self-controlled? Self-controlled. If you say you are spiritual, then these things should be found in you as a husband or as a wife. So, a spiritual man is quick to forgive others. A spiritual man seeks reconciliation. So, when there is an issue between you and your spouse, do you reconcile? Are you quick to ask for forgiveness? I've said it before that in marriage, Whoever is quick to say, I am sorry, whether it is the man or the woman, that person is the most matured in the marriage. In marriage, anybody that is waiting for sorry, the person is not matured. Whoever is quick to say, I am sorry, is the most matured person in the marriage. And it will surprise you that in marriages of today, the most matured, most of the time, is the women. Because they are quick to say, I am sorry, even when they are not guilty. Men find it difficult to say, I'm sorry. Women, am I talking? If you say no, raise your hand up. Stand up. Where's your wife? Esam, stand up. Only two. Only two. If your wife is here, stand up. If your wife is here, stand up. If your wife is here, stand up, because I want to ask your wife a question. So out of all the men that are seated, only one, two, three, four. Only four. So sit down. If we have four out of almost 100, out of almost how many men, we have only four who are confident. Their wives are here. They are confident to stand up, that they are quick to say sorry. So they are the most matured in their own marriage. I found it difficult to say sorry to my wife. I know that I was guilty, but I always want her to come and say sorry. And she has always come to say sorry, but now that one has passed. That was our first, second, third, 5 years of marriage. She was the most matured. I know what I'm talking about. I am a man. And I can tell you close to like 70 or 80% of what men can do in marriage. So, Mr. Johnson, I celebrate you. I celebrate you. Keep it up. Shows that you are spiritual, Abby. My elder, I celebrate you. You raise your hand. So other men, please. You didn't raise your hand. I know him. I know him. He's not quick to say sorry. I know him. He's my friend. So leave him. I know him. We talk. I know him. He cannot tell me another thing. I know him. We'll be coming for the past. We've been together for like 40 years or more. So I know him very well. So tell him to put his hand down. Hear me this morning. Nothing refines character like spirituality. I'm telling you, if you desire spirituality, it will shape your character. It will shape the way you think. It will shape in the way you act. It will shape in the way you talk. It will make you behave like God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. The Bible says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord. Those who are led by the Spirit. Those who walk by the Spirit. You begin to act and behave like God. So to know God well is to do things well. When you know God well, you are able to do things well, not just in marriage, in other aspects of your life. Please seek spirituality. Go for the word. Study. Grow in the knowledge of God's word. What is God saying concerning your life? What is God saying concerning your marriage? What is God saying concerning that situation before you? To know God well is to do things well. Number two ingredient is prayer. Luke chapter 18 verse 1. The Bible says, and he spoke a parable, Luke 18, 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. So true prayer is a way of life, not just because of an emergency. You don't pray because of an emergency. It's a way of life. It should be a way of life in your family. You should have time with your family when you seek the face of God in prayers. Time when you gather your children, your wife, and you study God's word and lift up your voices together in prayer. It should be your way of life. Every family should make it a habit. It brings the blessings of God upon a home. Matthew chapter 18 verse 20. Matthew 18:20. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So the presence of God comes where he sees couples praying. A family that prays is a blessed family. A church that prays is a blessed church. A life that prays is a blessed life. God says, I will be in their midst when I see two or more people praying. So prayer sanctifies and blesses a family, blesses our home, blesses our relationship. You are in a relationship, I've told you before, and you have not been praying. Call your fiance or fiancée. Start praying. Start praying. Call her. Call him. Call him. And start praying. Do you hear what I said? Your fiancée. To have a non-praying family is like being alive without breathing. Your family is not praying. It's like a family that is alive, but you are not breathing. There is no breath. Prayer strengthens family bonds. A family that prays together stays together. Families that regularly pray together, they are more likely to remain united and strong, both spiritually and emotionally. You see, a family that prays together, they are result-oriented. Anytime there is a difficult issue in your family, in your life, just call your family, join your hands together and pray, and see the intervention of God. Anytime I'm faced with challenge, all I need to do is to call my wife and children, and then we join our hands to pray. God answers it speedily. I can't, because of time, tell you testimonies of how we join our hands to pray and God opened doors. God respects the prayers of couples. A praying family is an unbeatable force. A praying family is a healthy family. A praying life is a healthy life. So please find time to pray. It brings the blessings of God upon the life of a man. Let me take one more and let me stop. Number three, unity of purpose. Psalm 133 from verse number 1. Psalm 133 verses 1 to 3. The Bible says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." He said, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments." Here, verse 3. Verse 3 says, "As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." So marriages become better when couples are unified in their passion for the things of God. Unity. I'm talking about unity. Is an ingredient. Unity. So serve God together. Serve God together. Always one that the wife is in church, the husband is at home, or the husband is in church, the wife is at home. Is that's not the way to serve. That's not the way to serve as a family. Your children are at home, you are in church. Sometimes you are at home, your children are in church. What you are hearing as a wife, your husband is not hearing it. What you are hearing as a husband, your wife is not hearing it. Serve God together. Say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I've said it before, it doesn't really work when you are married and you are going to different churches. There will be problem. There will be problem. You come to Lighthouse, where we wear shoes from our house, and your wife goes to another church that they don't wear shoes. You come to Lighthouse where we don't have any problem as far as the scripture is concerned. You can tie your hair, your head, your hair. You can put earrings, you can put, just adorn yourself, be modest in your dressing. And then your wife goes to a church where they tie everything. Here we don't tie everything. And then you go, your wife goes to a church where they look pious. Very soon, you, the husband, you will start looking at those who don't tie everything. Because you are in an environment where you see beauty. And your wife is capturing an environment where they cover beauty. So there's going to be a problem, because everything your husband sees here is disturbed. And as a small time, your husband will start telling you, "Oh, they're yoking in. You are going to a party and you tie everywhere." And the man is worried because you are the one that looks different among the other people who are seated. You are giving him problem. He will start looking to his left and to his right. If you want to go to the same church where they tie, two of you go there. It will help you to help your husband. Because everything he will see there, that's what he will be seeing. Serve God as a family together. The purpose of marriage is for the unity of minds. Your mind must be one for God to bless you. The Bible says whatever is joined together cannot be separated. Genesis chapter 2 verse 24 says, therefore a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So when you now separate yourself in the place of worship, you are dividing yourself. It's like one person is pulling somebody here, the other one is moving this way, this one is moving this way. You are going against scriptures. Serve God together. Come to church together. Walk together. Worship together. The truth is, anything joined together will work if it is done together. So talk together. Eat together if it's necessary. Plan together. Sleep together. All these mother's bedroom, father's bedroom. I don't know, I can't find it in the Bible. Father's room. Mother's room. Do you know that when couples sleep together, they bond. You don't know. They bond. You know, when you stay together, there is this closeness and physical contact that occurs during sleep. You understand what I'm talking about? It's not the one that you are in another room and you are knocking and the other one is fast asleep. Because you are in the other room. But if you are together, it's easy to communicate. If you don't get what I'm talking about, you better forget it. Is doctor in the house? There's this thing they call oxytocin. Doctor, is that word familiar? Any doctor in the house? Oxytocin. Ma? Let me give. I like when.
It's a hormone. It makes you feel good.
Makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Makes you feel good. I like that. Makes you feel good. It's a hormone that makes you feel good when you cuddle her or he cuddles you. There's this hormone that is released. This hormone promotes feelings of trust and bonding and intimacy. So be sleeping in a separate room. I don't know, it's my own thinking. I stand to be corrected, but it's my own thinking that if God breathed into our nostril and he gave us life, Abby, am I correct? My own thinking is that anytime you sleep on the same bed with your wife, your husband, the exchange of breath is impacting of life. You got it? You don't got it? You better got this one. You impact life. So for people like that, it becomes difficult for you to hurt one another. I asked somebody one day. Sorry, is a church right? Evil school now, they do sex education, so there's nothing. Abby, I said, when last did you kiss your wife? It was.
it's a personal thing now.
Okay. He said it's a personal thing. He can't say it. Esang. The other one was not personal. The first one that he raised his hand. That one is not personal. So he has answered my question. He can't remember when last. So I expect you to say, often, I kiss her before I go out. When I come back, I give her a peck, I kiss her. But he said it's personal. So he has answered my question. And then I asked this, he said, kiss? That's the way he responded, kiss? K-I-S-S. One kiss? She said, I've never done it. Ah! Who is talking there? Somebody is shaking her head. My own thinking, though, is my own thinking. Though. What I want to say now is my own thinking. Do you know that? I'm not talking about those who are not married. Don't go and kiss anybody. Don't try it. It's a sin. I'm speaking to married and unmarried. So I need to balance it. So when he come, I kiss. So you now be looking for him or looking for her. It's a sin. It's a sin. Ms. Ayerson. That's why, before I say what I want to say, I want to encourage men and women. Please, keep your mouth clean. Sometimes one of the reasons why kissing is not coming here is because some men, when they talk, evil flies will disappear. You know why you have to keep your mouth clean? You see, the exchange of saliva between a man and a woman, husband and wife, it means a lot. It builds trust. You get what I'm talking about? So just imagine that somebody did not brush. And it could make sense. Could tell, make sense, rara. But over brush, dada, over make sense. Please. Appreciate your spouse. Do everything possible. You can even tell your spouse, what are the things that are missing that you want to be there? There's no bad. There's nothing wrong in telling her or telling him what you want. And then both of you work together to achieve it. You get what I'm talking about? Because there are some people, no matter how they brush their mouth, hold on, she might want bed. So you can help him or help her get after a while. You need to enjoy your marriage. Life becomes better when you and your partner share a single focus, loving God together with the whole of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And when you do that, it opens you up for the blessings of the Almighty God. Can we bow our heads to pray? Can you talk to God this morning? Are you spiritual? Are you prayerful? Are you praying in your marriage? Is there prayer? Do you have an altar in your marriage? Talk to God. Are you one with your husband? Is there unity of mind? Do you do things together? Or you don't do things together? Is your home built on God? Do you consult Him before you take any decision? I'd like you to talk to God. So wherever you need to talk to God, talk to Him. Talk to Him this morning. Some of you, you need to just go and see your spouse and apologize. All she's waiting for, all he's waiting for is an apology. Just an apology. Talk to God now. I am sorry for the way I offended my husband, offended my wife. I am sorry, Lord. I receive grace to go and apologize. Just an apology is what that situation is waiting for. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. For you this morning that is married, you are in a relationship. That marriage, that relationship will experience the blessings of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, your marriage will work. Your things will get better. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. For in Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Can you shout louder? Amen.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samonda UA Road, Ibadan. Every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.